Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. So, I finally have my friend Joel. I said your first name, but that's okay, right?
Yeah? They didn't do names.
Well, you don't do mine. I have to stay anonymous.
Yes, that's totally fine.
Yeah. I'll just use your first name. It's okay. Because I've referenced you so many times in my podcast, so people already,
I think. You never said Joel.
I did. I've let it slip once a couple times. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Once or twice.
Gotcha,
okay.
Gotcha. I'm with you. I'm on the same
page. All right. So is it okay if I use your first name?
You have my
phone. All right. Okay.
I'll sign the waiver.
There we go. All right. Good. Sign the waiver. There'll be waivers waiting for you at the door. And so what people don't know is that we tried to do this remotely at one point. And we did this big, long, freaking podcast. And there was an echo. And when I was done and I listened to it, I'm like, oh, shit, we can't use this. There's an echo. Because we did it over Skype and I just forgot about, there's some things about Skype that, or, you know, there's a way to get around that, but I kind of forgot about that. Anyway, we wasted about 45 minutes, an hour, or something like that. Okay. So this time though, we're now face to face and I have some finite, very specific questions about that I want to talk to you about because you are sort of, I tell people you're my male counterpart. If I was a man, I would be you. And so you have done a lot of online stuff and you know, way well ahead of me and you have, you know, more experience with it than I do. And when I started doing this, you know, you had a few opinions about things and I was like, oh no, you know. Well, now a year into this, I'm like, oh, well, that kind of seems to be true. It sucks, but it's true. And so,
that does suck, and it is true.
Do you remember when? So, the other night when we were out to dinner, we were talking about how people just end up in one kind of camp or the other, as far as, you know, when you're seeing these people, they either are like short term, it has a lifespan, a shelf life. You don't know really what that's going to be, right, when you start it. Mm-hmm. You're optimistic, but it always is like, fuck, it expires. Mm-hmm. And then it's either that or they want to be, you know, they want to lock it down and they want to be in a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is that all about? What is your take on that? Why is that? I'm still hopeful. I mean, I'm determined that I can find a happy medium, but I'll tell you, at this point, I'm still searching. So tell me, why do you think that is?
Rephrase the question. Why do I think what is? I know the story, and I'm with you on the thought.
Yeah.
But what's the
why do you think
short
the people,
question?
Why do people either land in Camp A or Camp B? Camp
you
A
mean like. Camp A being fun and short, or Camp B being
yes
monogamous long term.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is there?
And I would add a little caveat to that.
Okay.
Even if, in my experience, when people clearly say, "I want to be in Camp A," meaning short
yeah.
and fun.
Yeah.
I don't even listen. You're going to be in Camp B, no matter who you are. It
yeah.
just always goes there.
Why does that happen?
That is it. We should have maybe just the question. Just like that's a question that I truly do not know.
Yeah.
Why is it that people always, you know, we're all predictable. We all gravitate towards this, you know, monogamous long-term marriage system that, and not to beg on it, but that we all know that every New Yorker article is like, this will not work. Works for 1 in 10, you know. Right now, for the first time in human history, There's more single people than married people.
Yeah.
There's more atheists than religious, you know, which kind of goes towards our thinking of Camp A. With all this knowledge, but still in our everyday life, I'm like, you're going to this thing that I clearly stated that I didn't want.
Yeah.
And for the audience listening, I mean, the landscape that we, you know, that we cast our line in is clearly not a lot B, you know, long-term monogamous, et cetera. We're
not any harmony.
Yeah. Yeah. We're clearly raising the flag and saying this is, and we're very good about being transparent.
Yeah.
And putting it out there and saying,
right.
We're sex positive.
Yeah.
We're here for fun.
Yeah.
We are not this.
Right.
But yours and my experience both were like, it's going to go there. And you and I know each other's experiences that we don't need to go into, but
we can.
Even the people that clearly have no invested, like, that you should be setting up a city in Camp A or pulling over. That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It's that big of a draw.
Yeah.
So the question,
why?
What is that draw? What is that gravity that just pulls there? You know?
What is
that? And to loop, you probably are going to get to this, that even if you are successful to stay in a fun, hey, this is just live for today, this is sex positive, this is transparent, all these things, it's going to be short-lived. I've been doing this a long time. I don't know any, not one person. But the girls that I've met that have gone like right away to what people would call like the friend zone, I have many, many examples of 10-year plus relationships that I'm thrilled with.
Yeah.
But it never went sexual.
Okay.
If it went sexual, it ended.
Okay.
No, at one, not 100% of the time.
Okay. So in the Camp A people, Camp A women, what? Excuse me. What do you think that, what's the average lifespan of those?
Anywhere from one time, 24 hours, to at most 1 year.
Okay. Well, 1 year, I mean, that's kind of good.
That is good, but that's rare. It doesn't usually go that long. That's the tops.
Yeah. I haven't been able to hit that 1 year.
Yeah, which is kind of sad. I mean, I had a girl that I very much enjoyed time with and, you know, would have loved to continue that, but it went the 1 year thing.
What happened at the 1 year or around there? Is she wanted to go to Camp B?
No, this was a very unique thing. Oh. Well, I guess I could tell it since it's all you not.
It's anonymous.
Anonymous. And this is could segue into something else. So she had a history that we've talked about a lot. A woman. So she was 40. She was late 30s when I knew her. And a phenomenal person, you know, meaning educated, kind, compassionate, everything, sexually amazing, beautiful. And she went through a period, like we've talked about a lot, where she was sexless for, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Like me!
Yes. Yeah. Like you and a lot.
Yeah.
This is, as being a guy, this is a very common.
Is it?
Extremely so. Extremely.
Oh, we got to talk about that. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very common.
Yeah.
If I meet a woman, you know, over 30 to 35, I'm kind of going to expect like you're coming in because of where we cast our line that is sexual. It's not eHarmony.
No.
Well, that's if you came out of 3, you're rebounding. Oh. So she was rebounding a lot like the Curious Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Different, but similar.
Yeah.
And so she was, and I say this with the utmost admiration, very sexually active.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, you know, 3+ men a week that she was meeting for rendezvous.
Oh, wow.
And for whatever reason, she felt comfortable sharing, and it wasn't my thing that, it, like, you know, and I kind of tampered her off of it. I'm like, I don't need to kind of know everything.
Yeah.
Well, along that path, she contracted an STD, and that destroyed her. She was kind of the ilk that she thought she had done something bad, she deserved it, and she went from being an incredibly beautiful sexual person to, I'm never having sex ever again.
Yeah.
This is my fault.
Uh-oh.
It really, really took on a lot of blame, shame, and judgment from within.
Yeah.
And as much as I tried to say, that's okay, this could happen to anybody, yeah, you didn't do anything wrong, it was on deaf ears.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that, but that was a very unique story.
Yeah.
That's the only one after a year ended like that. Otherwise, they kind of are like, the more common thing I hear is, I thought I could do this, this isn't for me,
yeah,
I want something different.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's interesting. So, because you hit on a couple things that, you know, I've talked about before in my podcast and things that I, you know, just personally myself struggle with. Like, I have said, like, there's times where I just go, is this fucking for me or not? I mean, it's just because, you know, you'll hit, we run into a bunch of ding dongs, you know, and you're like, what the hell am I doing? I mean, you know, like, this is a, you know, I mean, you kind of go, well, this is a waste of my time.
You're running to standstill.
Yeah.
You are, to do this is running.
Yeah.
Like everything we said, you have to check your email. There's a process.
It's a process. It's and like, it's like a machine. You got to kind of work it like a business and it gets to be.
And it, yeah, and it hits you. Some days you're like, I'm back here.
I gotta
open up the laptop.
What am I doing?
I got to answer these same questions.
Yeah.
I'm not moving forward at all. And that,
your
listeners are going to hit that.
Yes. Well, and the other thing too, the interesting thing is I've also discussed and talked about, because somebody asked me, you know, are you afraid about it, STDs? I'm like, fuck yeah. You know, and I referenced, I think, you know, you and I talking about that, it's like, Of course, you know, you do everything you can, and the only thing that really is 100% effective against that is abstinence, which is not an option, right? I did that for 3.5 years. I'm out of that mode. You know, we do it as responsibly as we can, but I think we're, you know, someone said, do you worry about that? I'm like, of course. Yes. Absolutely. Yes, I do. And, you know, I remember you and I specifically discussing that, and we didn't really have a good, I don't think there's a real good answer for that.
It's a scary answer. I remember when I went through that, of course, I get checked at least twice a year. Mm-hmm. There's a free sex clinic, very convenient to me, and they're wonderful in California. And when I went in, and this is to share with your listeners, is that what happens is you go in and you say, hey, my friend contracted something, so I'm of course in here. The only way I convey it to people is they look at you like, wow, you're having sex, like you are a brave cowboy.
Yeah.
It's that you are going to catch something.
Yeah.
And somebody that, you know, our age is out there, they look at us like we've got done playing Russian roulette and like, I can't believe you're still standing.
Yeah.
It is that kind of, you know, listeners should just Google it. That's just this statistics are daunting to say the least.
Yeah.
That we choose to go out there is a little bit crazy, but what's the alternative? And
now,
and I'm trying to be as politically correct as I can possibly be. So, I mean, most people, if this was Oprah, they'd be like, don't have sex.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you think, let me ask you, do you think that that's, I mean, I don't know. Do you think that lends itself to why some people are more can't beers, you know, they're just in the can't be, they want a relationship, they want to lock it down.
I read that because there's a lot of sites where they'll say that question.
Yeah.
If there was no STDs, would you sleep with more people? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for my money, I don't know. I haven't invested that much thought into it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think that people say that.
Uh-huh.
But my two cents in just having this conversation with you is I don't. And again, let me just not be crucified. It's a big deal. I mean, it's a reality. It's a scare.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But do I think that every woman is not engaging in an active, you know, healthy, exciting sex life purely because they're afraid of STDs? I think that that's kind of what we'll call a canned answer.
Yeah.
I can just throw that out there and it's accepted without any thought. To have an active sex life, to do what we do takes an enormous amount of effort and work, like we're talking about, is not socially acceptable. They don't have a lot of friends and family members that they can talk to. These are recipes for disaster.
True.
You have anybody you can talk to?
Yeah.
Not a good recipe.
No, right.
You know, all of these types of things, that's an enormous weight. I think it's just a canned, easy answer to say STDs.
Yeah.
Because you can't argue against that. You're like, then you're you're smart. Okay.
Yeah.
In a conversation.
Yeah.
But I think the reality in knowing what we do is that this for sure is exhausting. It's a lot more work. I think that that, for me, when I see people take the B route or get married or all these wonderful things, for sure it's, I don't want to say easier. It's a more acceptable way. Mm-hmm. It's a known way.
Yeah.
You can talk to friends and family members about it. Like all the things that we do is an individual struggle, which means you're bearing all that weight.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of encompasses everything. I'm like, why don't you do this? It's a lot.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean.
But I can tell you for one thing that I don't hear a lot.
Yeah.
Being a guy, when I do meet a woman that I meet that does what we do, they're extraordinary women. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most women would think, oh my God, they're like horrors or floozies, or they'd be a lot of negative words. Like, it's quite the contrary.
Yeah.
CEOs.
Yeah.
Ivy Leagues, valedictorians. These are words that I would use.
Yeah.
That women are like, nope. You know, I know what it is to lead an extraordinary life, and I got the heels to walk the walk.
Right.
You know, and that I don't think is discussed enough, that the quality of woman that can, you know, really take on her sexual identity and walk the walk is extraordinary. And the women that go the B route, I'm kind of like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's a, it's harder to just stand on your own and say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I'm doing. Be upfront about it. Be open and honest with, you know, the people that you meet.
And get no help.
Well, yeah. And just, but, you know, it's different. It's different. Now, we talked about, I want to know, like, I have something written down here. So, here's my big question for you. How you manage these, so, because you've been doing this a long time, and somebody asked me in my last Q&A about, they said, did you develop, like, you know, love? Did you love anybody? Did you develop, like, serious relationships? And, you know, I answered that. And what I was wondering to you, because you've been doing this for a while, like, in this mode, have you ever been in love with, does that develop? I mean, what?
Absolutely. Every time.
Yeah. I mean,
every time. It's the exact opposite of what people think, because when I go into this and I'm about to meet a girl and we talk and we kind of say what's okay and not okay. What are boundaries? I firmly establish I'm a junkie for intimacy and connection.
Yeah.
I'm working hard on connecting with myself and I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
And just because this is sexual and this is the way that we're meeting, the world will say that is less than. I'm here to say that's not less than.
Yeah.
And we agree we have to take things one step at a time. Everything in life, you don't want to overwhelm people. You don't want to put pressure on. Hey, let's meet this first time. It's amazing. Let's get married.
Yeah.
Right. Let's just left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Yeah.
Let's take it one step at a time. And a part of the ground rules is, I think intimacy is amazing. I think connection is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for this to be, you know, a one night stand forever. And for you to have this with other people, et cetera, because it costs me, it takes nothing away from this connection.
Yeah.
Why can't we, you know, take the way that we're meeting now at this age and what we're doing, careers and everything, and realize we're going to be at a different place in 10 years and kind of grow with it together.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm saying on the table that I don't want is a traditional monogamous marriage. And we could talk about that with a girl. You know, like, I'm more than happy to talk about that. Just, that's just something that I don't think that is okay with me. But I'm not at all afraid of it in connection. And if we fall in love, to answer your question and everything, like, that doesn't scare me in the least.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what would be okay and not okay. In
yeah.
That, you know, and all of these things.
Yeah.
I always develop a connection.
Right.
And usually it's vice versa, you know. But then comes the beginning question, like, well, why does it end? You know, and that goes on to a different discussion.
Yeah.
It's very, very,
well, no,
very challenging.
I want to go, before we go on, the only thing I want to do is interject right now before we go. That's an interesting point of view. I want to go on to that point of view. But I want to make sure that everybody knows is it Wednesday night? Like, what night is it? It's Wednesday night. We are sitting here. We have wine on board. Yeah. We're drinking our wine while we're having this conversation.
Yeah. So my voice is a little slow, a little sleepy.
Yeah. We are. So I don't know if Joel's projecting enough, because I always project my voice. I always tell people, project your voice.
Probably not.
I know. But, you know, this is, so here's where we're at. So we're just having a very, very interesting free flowing conversation. I wrote down just a few things, but there was a couple things I just knew that I wanted to get into, you know, with you, because what I found in this year is so, you know, like so somebody asked me, like, oh, you know, did you develop any love feelings? I'm like, well, you know, there's a couple guys where, you know, I did, but it's different. It's different. It's not the same kind of like young love where you're just like, where you want to lock it down. It's really more just, from my point of view, a caring for that person and wanting the best for them. I mean, like, you just, because you genuinely care for them, you don't, I've never felt like, oh my God, you know, if they're seeing someone else or they are seeing someone else, this is bad. And, you know, it doesn't occur to me. It's the word, you know, I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than, you know, like, that sort of thing doesn't occur to me, but I noticed that the reciprocal of that isn't always given. I mean, it does occur to, for me, the guys that I've been with, that I'm with other guys. To me, it doesn't bother me that they're with other women, because, like you said, I don't feel that whatever they're doing when we're not together has any bearing on what we do when we are together. All I care about is this fun? Is this enjoyable? Are we having a good time? Are we connecting? You know, I mean, that's just what is going on directly between you and I. And I don't think farther than that space. Mm-hmm. Is that normal? I mean, maybe I'm out in left field, you know?
And I don't think so. And one of the things I've kind of also on top of that is that, you know, we were all raised on the movies and
yeah.
a lot of things, school
yeah.
and parents, I mean, in a good way. And, you know, we've all seen the movie of, oh my God, I can't think of titles, but I can think of a million of them in my head. You know, this is a loving relationship and that they were away on a business trip. You know, the contrived
mm-hmm.
story.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, you slept with a stewardess, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's the theme of the movie and this,
yeah.
oh my God, you betrayed me,
yeah.
and the tears. The reality is, you know, we have a little bit of experience. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It's not worthy of a movie. If I am in a relationship with you and we call them treats and I'm at Whole Foods and we look good after a yoga class and like, hey, want to go to a hotel for an hour? We've talked about this.
Yeah.
And I go, it pretty much begins and ends in the hotel. And,
yeah.
and I'm glad that I had the experience. It's
yeah.
wonderful and we can talk about it.
Yeah.
But don't think that that's going to bleed into my career, my home.
Right.
Like, no, that was a nice thing.
Yeah.
And I hope I enjoy those things for the rest of my
yeah.
life. I don't necessarily go home and tell that to my longer term lover because I don't think it's a kind thing to do. And if
mm-hmm.
she did it, I'm like, yeah, okay. We're now at a stage where like we can identify what are really challenges and problems and all these things. So
yeah.
I think a lot of the problem is that all of us in this society were raised on, that's betrayal. On a scale of 1 to 10, that's a 10.
Uh-huh.
And now what I'm like, it's a 2.
Uh-huh.
Barely even a 1.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
that's again, like, not discussed. Like, you know, could your marriage make it if your wife was unfaithful to you? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without question.
Uh-huh.
It's like she forgot to boil the eggs, you know? I mean, I hate to be overly contrived, you know?
Like, right, yeah.
Give me a tough one, you know? That's, yeah. There's a lot of tough things. And I also have to share with this is that you have to always look at the whole picture. You know, we share a lot about each other. I'm a big believer in therapy. I go to group therapy once a month. I'm the only single person.
Oh.
So there's 8 people total.
Yeah.
And I've been going for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And what it looks like is you go and you sit in a circle and you meet and you've been in a relationship for 8 years and they tell what's happening with them emotionally.
Yeah.
I'm the only single person, like I said. So I get to hear once a month incredibly challenging stories on every single level, what it is to be a married couple.
Yeah.
And wonderful stories.
Yeah.
Some of them are married 1 year and have no kids. Some of them are married 30 years and have 7 kids.
Uh-huh.
And everything in the middle.
Yeah.
It's never a cakewalk. Nobody walks into a group therapy and like, that was the best month of my life. And neither do we. What we're doing, we're raising our flag and saying, hey, here are the exhausting challenges.
Yeah.
And they're real.
Right.
But they ain't shit.
Yeah.
To what I hear in group therapy. Like, hey, getting married and going to a 10-year, 20-year, it's everybody, like, that's a unique set of challenges. And more power to you. It's not you and I to judge or say which way is right or wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
But I can be the referee in the middle of the field and say, this is to my left and this is on my right. And, I mean, I know how brutally challenging it is. So when we do what we do, and I say, I really just don't want to go into that landscape.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I could write a book on it. I went to the university of it. I know it. And I'm consciously choosing to say, I would rather not do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to invest to my left.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you and amazing sex and yoga and really good dinners and everything that we said.
Yeah.
And that's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not flippant. It didn't go without any thought.
Yeah.
And you know, this is non-negotiable. This is our understanding, et cetera.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, everybody says yes to everything. But for whatever reason, that never bleeds to the right.
Yeah.
But I'm never tempted to go to the right. As no matter what, left or right has its own unique set of exhausting challenges.
Yeah.
That, to me, is more so that I've just consciously chosen and articulate to say that's not an option for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I spend my energy here.
Yeah.
But as we share, that's short-lived. It just goes a year.
Yes. Yes. Well, so what I said in one of my recent podcasts was I was like, damn it, because we had this conversation about you had said, you know, these relationships are transitory. They're not long-term. And I'm like, no. You know, like, they can be. I'll make them. And, you know, and then I'm like, fuck. You know, Joel was right. As I've experienced, you know, just through this first year. And it's interesting because I guess I'm still sort of this quasi-optimist. Like, I still believe. I'm laughing at myself because I know this is come back to bite me. I'm putting this on the record. I still believe, like, I can find that one person. Like, I can make it happen.
I think you can too. I'm thinking of a movie I recently saw where a woman pulled it off, like a 40-year lover relationship. I'm like, I love this story. I love the way it went.
Yeah.
I see an image of it and I hear you talking. I think it is possible. Uh-huh. I just haven't been able to pull it off
yet.
But I'm not giving up hope.
Yeah.
I'm still in the game and going to try to do it. And I have a vision of it in my head and it looks really appealing.
Okay, so tell me, I want to know, what is your aversion to marriage?
I don't have aversion to marriage because I never.
Why
it's
is
not
it,
for me. I'm not. I'm
well,
not
why is it not right for you?
Because I go to group therapy, because I have parents that are still married, and because where I come from, all my friends are married, and it's not at all a bad thing. It's just, and by the way, I mean, quickly, I'm in the majority. It's just not. It's like saying I choose not to live in Australia.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Australia.
Right.
I just choose not to live in Australia.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I have no judgment about marriage. I think it's a wonderful institution. I love everybody that does it. But there's a lot of things about me. I choose not to eat meat. I choose not to eat meat and live in Australia. Right. On and on and on. It's a choice that being connected to myself, that's not something that is in concert with me.
Yeah. So for me, the reason I never got married is because actually I really hold that in, you know, like, oh, high regard, I guess. Like, I say, you know, if you're going to go there and you're going to do that, you better fucking know who you are and what you're about and be ready to make that commitment. It is not to be taken lightly. I don't believe that you stand up in front of your friends and your family and, you know, if we want to use the G word, if we want to say God or whatever, you know, whatever your belief is, and take vows and then just take those lightly. So to me, I've just never come across somebody that I felt like I could. Oh God, stop. Don't make me laugh. We're laughing because my dog is snoring and she's just,
and the tongue is,
and her tongue, oh, her tongue's always hanging out. So people don't know this. Like, okay, I have to come clean. Every time I do a podcast, the dogs are in the background. They're either snoring, shaking their collars, walking around. You hear their nails tapping. They're getting their water, and it's like, it's this background noise. It's my, and they're, these are like little, these are less than 12 pound dogs, like two little lightweights. And my one little gal here is, snores like a man, basically. And when she, and her tongue sticks out, it's really, really long. And if you touch that tongue right now, it's dry as a bone. Because it sticks out when she's sleeping and it just stays out. Okay.
So cute. Oh my God.
All right.
That should be the screensaver for
when I know. I digress. Okay. Back to, let's get back to.
Well, so the pickup where you left off, yeah. What you were talking about. And that's one of the challenges is that exactly, like, marriage is serious. It's, mm-hmm. it's deep. It's all of those wonderful things. And I think that's the impossibility of it, is that, you know, if I meet a girl and I get married and I'm 25 and I'm a bartender, which, you know, all these things are great.
Right.
And then the point is your life changes in arcs. And to expect two people to go railroad tracks.
I don't think people should get married in their 20s. I've said it before. Yeah. I'll say it again.
Yeah,
you don't know who the fuck you are. Right. You're figuring that out.
So for you to say, like, that's a lot of pressure to say, hey, you need to take this serious. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm taking it serious, but
I'm changing.
And to expect you to change
with
the
me,
same pace, that's very hard. It's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on a side note, if this benefits anybody, you and I are risk takers. People don't know about our professional lives. Right. I go home to I have a great network of friends and family, and I go home and I'll tell them what I'm doing, and they drop.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like, well, this is an enormous risk.
Mm-hmm.
If I had three kids and I was doing this, I would never leave this job.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Sure.
And that, for me, that scares the daylights out of me. You know, like, I have to work for Google.
Yeah.
And make this salary, and I can't endanger leaving it because I got the little ones.
Right.
That's a reality. That goes into this conversation because that's always cognizant in my mind. Is that, hey, I really like to be able to, like, nope, I'm going to take a chance on this, and this is crazy and wacky.
Yeah.
But if it's one single man doing that, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
And that's when I go back to my friends and family, like, how can you do this? I'm like,
right.
It's just me.
Yes.
So then mentality just kind of carry over to the sex, and like, well, you know, I can risk, and I can, not STD, but I can risk, and you know, I can take chances. If it doesn't work out, it's just me. It doesn't work out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. You're not affecting, right. You know, the family or something right. like that.
So, but that you and I have that, we're the same because we know about our professional, personal lives.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
That kind of bleeds into this sexuality, because let's take the opposite of that. You know, the girl that, like, really needs to get married and everything.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of everything we're talking about. That's, you know what tomorrow is going to look like. Yours is my life. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. And well, I get off on that.
I've said this before. I have an interesting point of view on this, though. I've spoken to many of my friends. See, I believe, like, women get married for different reasons than men do. And I believe that many women get married. It's a financial merger of two incomes. And they're looking to improve their lives, you know, their potential, whatever, you know. And they want to have kids and they want to have family. And so, they're looking for a provider. I don't think like women sit up and go, I want to pick that deadbeat right there. No. I mean, right? And so This is stuff that's ingrained in us. Now, I've asked all my friends that are married and they're just okay with it. I've said, tell me honestly, if you had $5 million in the bank, would you have gotten married? And the answer is across the board, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And these are what we would consider happily married women that you would, from the outside, would be like, oh, this is a joyful home and they're having a good sex life. But if you said, if I would have given you $5 million, they would have said no. So every woman got married for financial security.
Like I said, I think that, you know, women are just, I'm not even going to say women because I know it's a male thing too. People want to get married and they want to merge their finances. And the reason I, again, as a business person, like never wanted to get married. I'm like, this is just a business arrangement between you and the state that you live in. And you're subject to the rules of whatever state you live in based on that. Right. So the state wants to have their hand in your finances more, or, you know, have a say about that because you're married and that's a legal binding contract. I mean, that's what you're getting into. It's a business arrangement. People don't want to look at it that way, but that's what a marriage is. It's a contract. And you're subject to certain things, whether you know, statewide, IRS wide. I mean, there's all these things that come into play. But generally speaking, I found that, you know, when just polled, you know, a general polling, you know, it's like, this is a financial, I want to improve my financial status. This is a way to improve my financial status. And I don't make any judgment on that. All I can say is for me personally is that I never looked at stuff that way. I was always like, I want X, Y, and Z, and how can I earn that? I'm going to go out and get it, you know, and I'm like, there was never a thought that, well, if I am hooked up with this guy, you know, I could get that faster, or, you know, it would make it easier, or, you know, we would, or our combined incomes would be great together. It's just never, you know, it's really never been.
And all your friends went that direction. That was their.
But I think that's the okay. But so here's the thing. I think that's natural. I think they went the direction that I would say. Do you say 95% of people go?
Yeah.
90. Let's say 90. We'll be liberal. Let's say 90%
of the people who get married because of finances.
Well, no. I'm saying. This, I was able to glean this information because I asked a specific question. But I do believe that it's a driving factor in, you know, a lot of the decision making on, you know, for women. Can't speak for men, but I would say for women, you know, to want to align themselves. You know, it's just one more, it may not be that, I don't want to make this into a bad thing. I'm just saying, it's a check mark. You know, it's like you're going down, I look at stuff on paper, I do. I look at guys on paper, I'm like, he checks this box, check, right? But for me, I don't have to consider the finances. It never has to be about the finances, because I'm doing my own thing, right? And that's a very liberating position to be in, where you're just like, well, I don't have to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That would never be in my equation. But for some women, it is. And I'm not making a judgment about it. I'm just saying it can be, and it seems to me that it is a lot of times a driving force. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know that. Do you think you would disagree with that? You're from an area that's, I think, very superficial.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think those women are looking for broke ass men?
No. There is no. Let me go on the record here, Miss Curious Girl. There ain't no girl ever going for a broke ass man ever.
I love that broke ass man. I want to marry that broke ass.
For all the men out there, you're broke ass. It ain't gonna work long. No. No.
I married you because you're broke as a fool.
But for the most, at a certain level of income and lifestyle, etc., I see. I completely pick up on what you're saying. Completely disagree. I'm sorry. Agree.
Oh. Disagree. Agree. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, security, there's always three areas, love and lust and security and companionship. Yeah. And you just sort of balance which one is your greatest need.
Yeah.
And my mind drifts towards somebody, like, let's use an extreme example. Like, for males, let's use Justin Bieber. And for females, let's use whatever Kardashian girl.
Okay.
Meaning their finances are set.
Yeah.
Right? And they are going to drift towards marriage. They're going to get married. And so for this point of this conversation, we'd be like, why? You have fame, you have money, you have lifestyle, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And to bring it back to Curious Girl and our lifestyle is because what I know in doing this is that this is a shit show. If you're Kim Kardashian and you're Justin Bieber and you go to the Bellagio at Vegas, the ultimate club and everything, and you've done this 8,000 times, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, I want to get married.
Yeah.
Because this is exhausting.
It is.
At the moment,
that
looks less exhausting.
Yeah.
And then the grass is always greener. They get it for a month and then they get a divorce and they come back and you just see this thing. And I think that hearing what you're saying is exactly on track and bright. But I think for me now at my stage of my life is that the choice to stay single versus marriage is not finances. It's not security. It's not companionship. It's that I've had, unfortunately, the time to make plan A, meaning sexual, online, the Justin Bieber example, et cetera. I know how to make that less exhausting, and I know how to walk in and out of it.
Yeah.
And that took decades. Uh-huh. So if I hypothetically had a male friend that was going to get married, like, hey, let me follow you around and teach me what you do, and like what we've been talking about, I'm like, you can't.
No. Yeah.
That would be impossible.
Yeah.
This is going to exhaust you. You're going to get run into the ground. There's nothing good about this.
Yeah.
I think that yes, for sure, at a certain level of income, people, especially girls, like, here's $5 million. Yeah, I'm going to take it because it's scary if you're not, like you, financially successful and blah, blah, blah. Like, hey, this is not a good road.
What are you
the longer I get older and the opportunities go down, that we all visualize, like, that ain't good.
You better hook up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this road, just doing what I do for a woman, that's not easy, et cetera. So I think that the answer to a small majority of the listeners is that I've been able – there's been times in doing what we're talking about in Landscape A where I've definitely been exhausted, wanted to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Self-loathing. What am I doing?
Yeah.
All of these things.
Oh, God. I've gone through that like
take
so many times.
Let me just take a break.
I've taken breaks.
Do a lot of yoga.
I'm on a really fucking break. Yeah. I'm on a break right now.
I am too. I actually – I'm on a break too.
Fucking
but you and I know it will come back.
Yeah.
And every time we come back to it, we get a little bit better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, hey, what you view as this shit show, I know now how to make this work. I know how to put in minimal effort. Ugh. I know how to stop it. I know how to begin it. I'm in control.
Yeah.
When we started, we weren't in control.
Yeah.
Right? Well, all these emails, everything. Hey, you tell me where to go.
Yeah.
Horrible. And something kind of happened where we kind of like creamed to the top. And you're like, well, now don't use me as an example because don't follow in my footsteps. Yeah. But I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do this, don't do this. So then your only option
is B.
And I'm sorry to the listeners because we're we're pointing. And
I know.
Yeah. Then it's. I think it's. Then B is a huge pull. Like,
yeah.
This is no longer an option.
Uh huh.
Even if I wanted it, everything, like, this is the only option.
Yeah.
And that's horrible in life when they
Yeah. So, okay, let's go back to, I want to circle back to the, what we said about, stop looking at my little dog who's snoring. Poke her. Just poke her. She snores all the time. She keeps me awake. Like, I'll wake, this is like a man in my bed. I'm like,
it relaxes.
I jabber. I'm like,
I love to hear like,
roll over.
I'm kind of jealous. I'm like, I kind of want to be snoring.
No, she's my tongue out. Yeah, we should stick the microphone over there to capture it. anyway. I know. Sorry, people don't know what's going on. We're just
with the wine. We're
so, this is gonna we're, be the worst we're going on for we're 4 hours. I know. We're like crazy. We've been drinking. We're
how much time are we in?
We're like 45 minutes in. That's okay. That's
all right. Yeah, that's it. Would have been 2 hours.
No. Yeah. All right. Where's it going? I forget. Where's it going? Oh, I was just talking about. So, tell me how. I know how I manage it. Like, I know how I justify it in my mind, but I'm curious about how you justify. Like, so if you're seeing somebody and maybe a few people and you genuinely have, you know, love feelings for them, you know, just really strong feelings, how do you manage that? I mean, I can tell you, so my thing is everybody's different, obviously. And when I develop strong feelings for somebody, you know, every dynamic's different. And I can't, you know, it's like some people will sit there and we can share, like, I did this with this guy and this is like, we can kind of compare horror stories. We can laugh, we can giggle and, you know, or just even, you know, talk about like, yeah, I see this guy. It's like really special, blah, blah. It's just non-threatening. It doesn't phase one way or the other. But then, you know, there's other people where it's kind of like, there's been a couple of people where I'm like, I don't know if I want to hear about that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, it's not that I don't want them to do what they're doing. I just don't know that I want to hear about that.
I agree. Yeah. So, yeah, I've tried it both ways too. And yeah. I'm like, hey, I thought, I tried it both, like, and now I'm at, like, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, what?
Right, we have to think of a better expression, because that seems like a cop-out. Like, I don't want to hear about it. Like, no, it's not that I'm choosing to say, you're entitled to your private
life. Yeah, I'm saying that off the record. I don't say that. That's not what I say, like, directly to them. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm feeling. Like, it's just like, I'm kind of thinking, like, all of a sudden I'll have this dialogue, and I'll go, God, I don't know if I want these mm-hmm. details. I mean, I don't really know if I want to hear about mm-hmm. it. I know that they do, and I don't have, you know, that's fine. I don't want to stop it. I just don't want to know about mm-hmm. it. Like, I don't want to know the details. Like,
no, I don't either. I don't see any reason to. I don't see any practicality. I don't think it brings us closer. Yeah. So.
Do you have that same thing where you have different dynamics with different people? I mean, like, some people I think that they're on a certain level, and it doesn't bother you, right? Because that's their lane.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it. Everyone's got their lane, right? They're in this lane, and then there's certain people where you're like, I don't want to say a little more special, but it just the dynamic is different. The feelings are different, and you're kind of like, I don't know that I want to really. I can't have that. I can't. Discuss that with you, laugh and giggle with you about it the same way I do with this person over here. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just not mm-hmm. sure that I'll leave like feeling really good about having that information.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you experience that?
Less and less now.
Oh.
Because before, yes.
Am I emotionally immature?
No, because when I was doing this, I'll say, like, more actively, more partners.
Yeah.
You sort of are less. I was sort of less discerning and like, oh, this is a pretty girl. She goes into my bedroom. There's another pretty girl who goes into my bedroom.
Yeah.
And as I get a little bit older, a little bit experience, I start to listen more before she goes in the bedroom. So if a girl or a partner or a man, whichever that sex it is, you know, moving a little bit slower has kind of solved everything.
Yeah.
If a girl's like, you know, if that's something that I'm not really interested, like, for example, like this example, I don't need to hear everything. You have a personal life.
Sure.
You have a kind of like a meeting point or something. And if a girl or a boy, that's their personality. They're just, and we all know it because we've all been on first dates, coffee dates, whatever, with the girl or the guy is just going, going, going. Like, well, this is who you are.
Yeah.
You're not going to change.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm just now kind of more attracted to people, would it be a girl or a guy, that right from the get-go really has very clear understanding and boundaries of what a private life is. When I'm dating, even I used to try to push the buttons and pull everything out. And now we're both kind of like,
yeah,
we're hanging back. Like in due time,
yeah,
if I decide that's to share, good point. Yeah. So I'm kind of attracted to people that kind of verbally hang back.
Okay. That's so a good, that's interesting. Yeah.
That kind of solves it. And you know, so we've all been there to people that are just like, in 3 minutes, here's my whole life. You're like, well, then you're going to tell me everything. Yeah. That's who you are.
Yeah.
And I just don't really entertain those people anymore.
Right, right.
I kind of entertain people that hang back.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. So we're going into 50 minutes now. So we got to kind of wrap it up. We got the dog snoring in the background. I know.
Probably our listeners too.
I know. I wonder. I'll be curious to see. Oh, snore. Everyone's like dropped off, but I'm like, shit, this is, I can't
listen. We'll do it again, but after, not after a bottle of wine.
Oh, I know.
And we've been, we're touring. We've been watching.
Well, I just wanted this to be like, what's up? Like, yeah, we're face to face. Okay. I know.
No, it's a good idea. But we'll be more alert.
You know what? I like the impromptu stuff. You know, people, hey, nobody wants to listen. They don't have to.
I love it.
But, so, you know, I'm going to do a year two for the Curious Girl. And, well, what you may not know is I just decided that, you know, this year, so I had kind of, you know, I had my sex bucket list that I was scratching that off, blah, blah, blah. That was like my theme, right? But this year I just said, you know what? I'm not doing a theme. I'm just going to, I don't want the pressure of that.
There's no reason to, yeah.
And, because it kind of felt obligatory, and you know, for it's you know, a lot of
your
times.
First year, but
yeah,
look, what's the theme of Oprah?
I don't know,
day by day, right. There is no theme, it's just it's life.
Whatever comes up.
You've got your first, that was your launch, now it's just this is life, this is Monday, that's the theme.
So, okay, so what do you think? Like, you know, a lot about me, you know, I've shared a lot with you. What is the going into year two? What's the best advice you could give me?
Always the best advice with this is be real. It is back-breaking work to connect with yourself, to accept yourself, to share, you know, Brene Brown territory, everything that we love. Like, work nonstop on connecting with yourself, because if you can connect with yourself, you will connect with another person.
Yeah.
If you're fake, if you're, you know, not authentic, all of these types of things, you're going to go nowhere. She's poking the dog. You know, that always is with every product, with every personality, with every podcast that I advise on is be genuine, be yourself, connect with yourself, be vulnerable, you know, really, really dial into that, what the daily struggles are.
Oh,
you know?
Jesus.
What we do professionally and sexually and everything, that's kind of, that's tough, but really it's because, you know, the listeners can't hear, but we're in a studio. When you come in here and the doors are off and if the little ones weren't here and you close the door, I, in my mind, everybody I have a disagreement or I pass in life. I instantly, that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
In today's political climate, neo-Nazis, whatever, I'm like, that guy's closing the door. The laptop's shutting down. Yeah. He doesn't have an audience anymore. And that's like the bleakest and the hardest. And that's what everybody's trying to get through, is that when you and I go out there into our city and we do all these things, it's glorious.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we come in here, we shut the door, and it shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point that Curious Girl picks up on, is that the girls are going to walk in, you know, after a sexless marriage and trying to get back into it, or all of these types of things.
Yeah.
And we now live in an Instagram world where it's like, they're kicking ass. Why is it easy for everybody? That's totally fantasy.
Yeah.
Phony.
Sure, sure.
That's where the curious girl comes in, is being like, this is what it's like when you close the door.
This is the real fucking deal, yeah, right here.
There's no audience that's celebrating me. The makeup is off.
Jesus Christ.
This is what it really feels like to put yourself out there sexually, to do what we're doing, and get rejected, to go nowhere, to like the person, to not like the person.
Yeah.
Because it goes up and down. Because everybody that enters into the conversations with us, they have a plan or an agenda. This isn't an agenda. This is day by day.
Right, yeah, yeah.
This guy had a great cock. This guy did this. Yeah. This guy made me angry or whatever. Yeah. But in the Instagram world, they're like, well, what's the plan?
Yeah.
At the end of the year, I'm going to find this guy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this bucket list. And you're like, the year's over. It's still Wednesday.
Yeah.
This is where it gets hard. It gets hard when you close that door.
Yeah.
And you're in here by yourself and you're like, this is my life.
Right.
And how can I share with people, be like, how can I start there?
Yeah.
And it can be glorious. Yeah. What we're doing, I think, is amazing. I think it's absolutely okay and amazing for us to have one or dozens or hundreds of, for you men, for me women.
Yeah.
That we have a great sexual life with, that goes up and down. That
I might throw a couple women in there if I get lucky enough.
And I'll applaud that. I think that's absolutely
still
possible
on my list.
For listeners, for everybody. Yeah. Like, these people have my wants and needs in my back.
Yeah. Right.
And
right,
it doesn't have. That's the line.
Yeah.
It does not have to be Plan B marriage. Mm-hmm. There's got to be other. For God's sake, listeners. There must be millions
of people. For the love of God!
For the love of God, it can't be one path.
No, I know.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
And all, everybody listening has to be a cheerleader and say, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Let's have it so that at the end of the day, we have people that have our wants and needs that know us.
Yeah.
That will know us for a long time.
Yeah.
And make our life richer. And how that's year two. You have to be the first one through the wall and the pioneer to teach us, this is how you do it.
Yep.
And share your misgivings and your exhausting days and your successes.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I have been doing it. I am doing it. It's, and you know, as you know, I mean, I've shared a lot with you. It's like sometimes you know, there's podcasts and you've listened to a couple of them where I'm like, take a listen to this. Should I post this? You're like, oh, I don't know about that. You can, but you can't take it back. You know, and so again, that's like the whole thing is just to really be, it's, I'll say this, you know, just to wrap, I'm going to wrap it up here because we're almost hitting it there. But I think the hardest thing that I found in doing this is to stay, just to stay truthful, to stay authentic, just to not waver from, you know, and worry about what other people may think. And I'm still guilty of it. I'm not going to say that I'm not. I mean, that's the reason that I've held back from, like, you know, some of these podcasts. And that's the reason I'm like, I'll be calling you. I'm like, listen to this. What do you think? And, you know, and if I had any balls, I'd just be like, fuck it. I'm, you know what? I said it. I meant it in the moment. I'm putting it out there. But, you know, I honestly do my best to just put, you know, it's probably 95% out there. And so that really is. I mean, like, I, you know, there's really been a few, only a few things that I've just said, well, I'm going to hold back on that.
And that's where I think that you, because you are classy. If I could say a brief answer for where I would like to see Curious Girl go in year two,
in the year, where is that?
Share with them what gets under your skin from your point of view, classy, because there's lots of sex podcasts out there where I'll listen to it. Like, this is what I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Because somebody thinks it's charming and anybody can do it now. And let's say this girl picks up this guy and they go to bed and he's wearing socks in bed.
Yeah.
And it's an hour and a half how this girl didn't want to, was bothered by this guy wearing socks in bed.
Yeah.
Meaning an example that means absolutely nothing to me. I don't want to hear 1 minute of this, let alone an hour and 50 minutes. What I want to hear is your classy is what gets under your skin, because that's what gets under all your listener skins. Meaning you know, A, I have to take this on. This is exhausting. I had a full 12-hour yeah. day. I got to shave. I got to primp and prime. I got to get out there.
You don't understand.
We all need to do. And all that. And that's level yeah. A. But that's what, that's talk. Yeah. But then sure. get to when the door closes and be like, this happened. Like what we talked about, which one of our people did.
Oh.
You know, that's like uh-huh. under your skin.
Yeah.
That's something I want to hear an hour and a half long podcast on. Not that that example, but yeah. I mean, like, that's from a classy person. Like, why is this happening? Not, I don't want to hear about socks in bed. I don't want to hear about he didn't pick up the tab. I don't want to hear about he didn't open the door. I've heard of that a
yeah.
million times,
yeah.
and I get it.
Yeah.
I want to hear from the level of people yeah. that are, like, CEO level, like grounded
yeah.
and... this is happening,
yeah.
and why the fuck did this just happen? And why can't I get over this? And why is this taking me a month to get over?
Yeah.
That's the shit that
yeah.
I listen to. And you are classy, so you have to be able to distinguish everybody else that's socks in bed, didn't open the door, didn't pick up the check.
Yeah.
I get it. Move
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
A million hours of,
right.
of that shit.
Yeah.
What is it when it's like, you know, this was going great? And this makes me want to stop what doing. That's the litmus test.
Yeah.
That should start. This makes me want to stop doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because that's what the listeners that I want you to empower.
Yeah.
That's what they're on the fence about.
Right.
And you're stronger and more advanced. And like, this is knocking me off my perch.
Yeah.
I want to know what knocks you off your perch.
Yeah.
In a classy, like, deep way.
Yeah.
Knowing we can't go option B marriage for everything that we talked about. It must be. We have to look for alternatives. And we have a hopeful image.
Yeah.
But this just fucking brought me to my knees.
Yeah.
That interests me.
Yeah. Well, I think I did. I don't know if I did an hour and a half about that subject, but I did about 30 minutes, maybe plus.
You did.
10.
But you know what I'm saying? Because there's other yeah. successful podcasters out there that just are entertaining, like, you know, black socks in bed.
Yeah.
But the listeners that are following you, that know that you're invested in, like,
yeah.
look at, I'm going to make this work. And if you come and turn on the podcast and say, I'm this close to quitting.
Yeah.
I would be really engaged. Like,
well, I've
what?
Said that.
Yeah.
I've said that. I mean, I talk about the good.
But you're going to keep doing it.
Right.
There's, in the year. I want you to keep going.
Oh, I'll hit that. Somebody's going to hit that note with me in year two.
And now that we're closer, I'll hit it. I'll be like, this made me stop.
It's the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I'll share with you, like, this is why I keep going.
Yeah.
This was
yeah.
a great night.
Yeah.
I'll share those and be like, this.
I said why. I'm
like, this is amazing. And then the next night, it's like, I'm
going
to quit.
I said why I keep going. Because those types of things only make me, you know, more determined to prove that I can have exactly what I want.
Yeah.
That's it. Because I don't know if you listen
to... it feels damn good to get exactly what you
want.
Oh,
I fucking always get exactly what I want. Let me just make no mistake about that. There's the business hat coming on. Like, I do not settle for mediocrity, for less than what I want on any level. And when I started this... So the podcast I did before, The Dirty Ones... was interesting because I you know, and I said I don't want to talk about it very much anymore, but, you know, we're bringing it up, and I think it's actually worthy right now of just giving it a little bit of effort. So I started my year. I said I had two bookends to this year, the beginning and the end, which were, you know, I said fucker one and fucker two, and jokingly, and but the thing was, is that when I started this, that could have knocked me right off my perch right there. But instead, that made me more determined. I'm like, no, I don't give a shit. This isn't setting me back. I'm going to keep moving forward. And this second incident is no different. None. That's the thing. You get more and more determined and more steadfast and committed. It's either going to knock you off or it's going to make you realize I am more focused and more clear and more determined to get what I want. And that's it. You know, you're going to go A or B. So for me, I like to get what I want. So it's going to be, I will hang in there until I can prove that, you know, that this can be the way we want it, and it will be the way we want it, and, you know, I won't settle for anything less. So that's kind of where that's where I end my year, I guess. So
I like it.
Yeah. All right. So I think on that note, it's a good place to end our podcast. And as usual, thank you for listening. And questions or comments, you can go ahead and send those to Curious Girl at thecuriousgirldiaries.com.